Welcome to the John Leonetti Show. Please hold while we connect your call.
Hey, I'm on the phone with Michael O'Neill right now. The Miracle Hunter told me a miracle story about St. Padre Pio that I have never heard in my life, and I kind of feel like I heard them all. So like, subscribe, comment, share this phone call with as many people as possible. Thanks for listening.
Press 1 to sponsor a call. Thank you for your support. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hey, John, it's Scott from 4 Marks Printing. I am so pumped to be a sponsor of your show. It's such a fun concept, and we're honored to be a part of it. We help Catholic schools, parishes, and apostolates get high-quality custom apparel without the typical headaches. Whether you or someone at your parish is juggling youth group fundraisers or trying to ditch the cookie dough sale at your school, we've got your back. Our ordering process is fast, our design team is amazing, and our customer service as well. Actually human. Let's make gear that people actually want to wear. Check us out at 4marksprinting.com. That's the number 4marksprinting.com.
If you would like to sponsor one of our calls, email us at thejohnleonettishow@gmail.com. And now, for your listening pleasure, The John Leonetti Show, calling all Catholics. Enjoy.
Michael O'Neill. How are you, sir?
Hey, John. Good. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Miracle Hunter. How do you get that name?
Are we doing the interview right now?
Yes.
Is this it?
This is it. We're on. We're on a phone call.
All right.
There's no microphones, is there? You on your phone?
I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We don't do this anymore. We don't do just nice conversations on the phone anymore. We put, you know, microphones in front of us. And I don't need any of that. I want to just talk to you on the phone.
All right, that's fine.
So how do you get to be
give my you know, tuned up answer to that, or
no,
just a friendly chat?
Tune them up. I want the real Michael O'Neill, Miracle Hunter. How do you get the name?
All right, that's a good question. So, it's probably one of the best things that that I've done related to this research on miracles is the name, because I think everybody finds it kind of interesting, and I think that. Probably I came up with the name so many years ago, maybe in 1997 or 1980, when I heard of this show called The Relic Hunter. So I think I, tweaked that a little bit and turned it into Miracle Hunter. So I think that's where the name's origins come from.
So you're an engineer by background, right?
I am. Yeah. I went to Stanford University and studied mechanical engineering. And,
You couldn't get into a better school than that?
I don't know. Everybody needs a safety school.
That's tough.
But no, it was a great, great school. So grateful to be there. And I studied mechanical engineering and product design. And I took an archaeology class while I was there. And I wrote a paper on the Tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because I had this devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe given to me from my mother. From a young age.
So you were still Catholic, and this was like kind of
Catholic all the way, cool. Pale Catholic all the way through, but I was really kind of fascinated in the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, so I kind of researched it and, you know, for this paper, and by the time I was done, I said, someday when I grow old, I'm going to, you know, dig into this and find out more, because this is so fascinating, because in part of it, you know, in my mind, you know, I'd only heard of Fatima, Lourdes, and Guadalupe, you know,
right.
The big three. But there's, you know, thousands upon thousands of claims of miracles throughout Christian history, some of which the church has actually said this is established as supernatural. So I said, I don't think anybody knows that, you know, the church not only, I mean, maybe nowadays they say, you know, if it helps your faith and there's nothing wrong with it, then go for it. But for so many centuries, it was, you know, this is a supernatural event. So I thought that was fascinating and something I'd come back to eventually someday.
So an engineering mind, and you hear people say, well, I mean, science and religion, or specifically science and Catholicism, is just incompatible. How do you respond?
I'd say that's kind of a silly, canned approach when people do that, because I think that science and religion, they both have a quest for the truth. And maybe they're coming at it slightly differently, but the answers aren't incompatible. It's just a different approach how to get to that final answer. So God is truth. God is reality. So if we all end up at God anyway, it's all the same thing.
So you get to try to convince a skeptic that miracles are real. What miracle are you going to on this? A skeptic.
Sure. I mean, I think that there are so many miracles that are remarkable. And to be honest, I think that the Catholic Church formally investigates fully the healing miracles used in canonization causes, or at Lourdes. It's the same Lambertini criteria developed by Prospero Lambertini, this Italian cardinal from the 17th century. And they use that criteria even today, where it must be a serious condition and liable to go on its way on its own. It must be an instantaneous, complete, and lasting cure. And there can be no medical treatment that relates to the cure. And in the case of canonization miracles, you must point your prayers just at one saint, because, hey, if you do like I do, and I pray to all my friends and saints, you don't know who picked up the phone up there. So, you know, they've got all these rules, and it's such a strict process and criteria where they basically try to find any natural explanation, to say that this is how this healing really did happen.
Do they still have like a devil's advocate, they call him? You know, someone that argues against the miracle in the Vatican?
The Advocatus Diaboli, right. There is a promoter of justice. That's the rebranded name after Pope John Paul II. So
oh, really?
The devil's not involved.
He changed
it? Yeah. It doesn't matter though. It's the same kind of deal.
I like it.
Want to make sure everything lines up correctly.
So, yeah.
But yeah, they have that whole process. And I don't know, anytime anything passes the muster of the church with healing miracles, it's kind of a miracle in and of itself. They're so rare. I talk to all the canonization causes because I do this show, They Might Be Saints on EWTN.
Yeah.
And the show is about, you know, it kind of presents the lives of Americans on the path to sainthood, but also that search for canonization miracles, which, you know, we have this fanciful idea that, you know, there's so many miracles to choose from, and you just pick the one and you send it in, and maybe it takes a while, but it gets approved. But no, I think it's the criteria is so strict that it's really hard to find any miracles. So, but my favorite, you were kind of asking what one of my favorite miracles was.
Yeah.
And this doesn't relate to a canonization cause, but it relates to Padre Pio, who, in my opinion, is the greatest modern day miracle worker. Like when I'm looking for a miracle, the miracle hunter is dialing up Padre Pio. He's my go-to guy. But
see, he's how I came into really my faith. I mean, I've always loved my faith, but I mean, I was in eighth grade when I picked up a book on Padre Pio. I think it was the miracle worker, actually. I think it was like an orange one or something, sure. Or maybe brown orange. I don't remember. But I read it. It was a game changer for me. I'm like, what, levitation? Bilocation? I'm like, what?
Yeah,
what in the
whole
world?
Panoply of things. Yeah, exactly.
He was I mean, it was incredible. So I tell people a lot of times, like if you love that kind of supernatural, like miraculous sort of, you know, things, you're gonna want to like research this guy.
Yeah, no, he's the best. You can't argue with that. And
so what's his miracle?
I did a program on EWTN called Miracles of Padre Pio. And this miracle, I featured three preposterous miracles related to Padre Pio. And any one of those three could be my favorite one. I don't know. But my favorite one relates to Vera Marie Calandra. And I don't know if you know that name, but
on
the East Coast in Bartow, Pennsylvania, they have the National Center for Padre Pio. And that was established by the Calandra family in response to a miracle that was received to their daughter, Vera Calandra, who was a two-year-old girl. And this is in the, I guess it's in the late 1960s. And the mother and father who own, I think, a grocery store or some other store, they're basically all their customers are coming to them and they're saying, pray for our daughter Vera Marie, you know, she's very sick and we've seen all these doctors and they can't do anything. And eventually they get this advice from one of their customers that says, hey, have you ever heard of this Padre Pio? He's this living saint, this Capuchin friar in Italy. You should go see him and get a blessing and see what happens. Well, the mother, she said, okay, that sounds interesting. So they go to their doctor and say, we want to take little Vera Marie on a plane ride and get blessed by Padre Pio. And the doctors say, well, you probably shouldn't do that. She's going to die in the plane, you know, kind of thing. And they said, well, I guess if you decide to, the one solution, which I don't understand the medical decision here, but you must remove her bladder and you must hook her up to some tubes and bags and things, and then you can take her overseas on an airplane. So strangely, the parents agree to that.
Huh.
And they go through this surgery and she's hooked up to these tubes and all for this faithful journey to go see Padre Pio. And they go to San Giovanni Rotondo, and sure enough, they're able to arrange this meeting with Padre Pio. And he, you know, he says, "What took you so long?" And apparently he had appeared in a dream to the mother. And so, you know, he said, "Come to Italy quickly." So that was kind of what was the inspiration to do that, that strange surgery. So they get there, he says, "You know, have you, what took you so long?" They get the blessing. They jump back on the plane. They go back home. Sure enough, the news comes out. Padre Pio has died.
No.
So they saw him right before his death in 1968. And they didn't know if there was, you know, if that blessing meant anything, but they thought that was pretty dramatic. We were called there by a vision. We got there. We got the blessing. We got home. Let's go see our doctor. So they went to the doctor. And in the testing of the doctors, they found that the girl was completely healed of her illness. And not only completely healed, but her bladder grew back.
And you gotta be kidding me.
And of course, being a medical person or not a medical person, you can say, "Hey, bladders don't grow back."
Right.
And maybe that was kind of a quack doctor who maybe you know, cut out the wrong body part or didn't know how to look at the scan later or whatever. The surgeon was C. Everett Koop, the future Surgeon General of the United States.
Holy cow. Is this person still living?
Yes. And so I interviewed Vera Marie in my program, Miracles of Padre Pio, you know, as part of that program. We did all the recreations and the stories. So I encourage people to check that one out on EWTN. It's on there on demand. People can watch it for free. So it's that was one of my favorite programs I ever did. I've done a lot of programs. I don't know how many.
And I heard
50
you
or 60 different programs.
Yeah. I heard you like interviewed Blessed Carlo Acutis's mom or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When was this?
So this was I've interviewed her twice on my radio show. And yeah, that's been a real fun thing because I have a devotion to Carlo Acutis, of course. And, you know, I consider him to be the patron saint of Miracle Hunter because he was the guy who made all the websites related to Eucharistic miracles and Marian apparitions and things. So
was he one of your first ones to like really kind of grow devotion to?
Well, I would say that he was he has been an ongoing favorite of mine, and especially when my computer or website goes down, he's my number one guy to call up. But related to the interview with his mom, which was a lot of fun, and what I'd probably be overstating this to say it was one of the highlights of my life. But after the interview, his mother hung on, you know, afterwards, as you do after you hang up with the guest. You know,
I'm not going to do that with you.
Yeah, I'm jumping off right away, by the way. So, no, but she said, "Michael, I have something to tell you." And I said, oh, great. You know, I was calling her to congratulate her on the upcoming canonization. And she said, I want you to know that my son, Carlo, when he was alive, his favorite website was MiracleHunter.com.
No.
So that's
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing to hear that. So my intercessor in heaven was connected to me years ago. Yeah.
That's incredible, so, man. That's wild.
Well, right. I'm not a crying guy. Maybe it's happened, but definitely that was tears were brought to my eyes.
We're ending on that right there. I don't know of a better way to end an interview, man. What are you working on real quick? Point people to where you want them to go.
Oh, sure. So my Explore series with EWTN is where I put in a ton of effort. I do the weekly radio show each week, but so I'm either, you know, working from the home office or I'm somewhere in the world, and which is great. And I was just in Italy filming some new episodes of Explore with the Miracle Hunter, which is the show that airs every Saturday on EWTN. It's a travel show where I go and I check out the greatest miracle stories that we have to offer in the Catholic Church. And so I take my film crew and we film, and then we bring back the footage and edit it together. And it's been an amazing blessing to get to, you know, travel to these places and to tell the stories. And my favorite is when somebody tunes in, you know, sure they could tune into the Fatima Lourdes of Guadalupe episode and say, "Oh yeah, I love that one." But I love when people say, I've been a Catholic my whole life.
Yeah.
And I've never heard that place name or that story. Thank you so much for bringing it to our attention. So,
dude, I've been a Padre Pio fan for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And you just shared something with me that was one of the coolest stories of him I've heard yet. So I appreciate it, man. You're making these stories come alive in people's lives. It's seriously awesome. So we'll talk again. All right.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on. And good luck. All right. Thanks a lot.